and welcome once again to The Blueprint. It is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Forth, and Langsbrock. Thank you so much for joining us. We have new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. An amazing guest lined up for you today. We're going to talk about jobs, finances, the recovery, the path forward, and the conservative vision to get us there. But first, as a reminder, because the content is so great, we want you to like, comment, subscribe, share this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving liberal agenda. Maybe there's someone in your social network that wants or is open to hearing the conservative message. This is an opportunity to get that person and hopefully ensure that Erin O'Toole is the next Prime Minister of Canada. And of course, as always, if you can't watch or listen to the program in its entirety now, you can download it later on. Listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it. It is out there. Without further delay, I want to bring in our guest, good friend of the show, Ed Fast, the Member of Parliament for Abbotsford in beautiful British Columbia. He's also the Shadow Minister for Finance. Ed, thank you so much for taking time.
Good to be on your show again, Jamie.
We have a lot to talk about. Needless to say, the Liberal government has decided a budget is no longer necessary for the second straight year. This despite provinces and territories all over the country presenting a budget, maybe their second, depending on where they are. And yet we are blowing hundreds of billions of dollars out the door, and we are getting nothing from Justin Trudeau.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jamie. In fact, we know that the provinces of Quebec and Ontario are going to be tabling budgets in the next couple of weeks. Yet here we have a federal government that has blown through hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, and yet they haven't presented a plan on how they're going to reopen the economy. For 2 years, they haven't tabled a budget in the House of Commons. That is historic in Canada. Never before has a federal government ever failed to table a budget for 2 years. And here we are. We're in the middle of a pandemic when Canadians want to know, what is the Prime Minister's plan to actually get our economy restarted, to support Canadians through to the end of this pandemic? What does the future look like? How do we manage this massive debt that we've incurred? How do future generations see the future? Will they see a light at the end of the tunnel? These are all questions that the Prime Minister has failed to answer, and we're calling him to account.
Well, let's not forget, even in the first year, the Liberals, with the help of the NDP and at one time the Bloc, basically shut down Parliament. We were a fake Parliament operating when at a time Canadians needed help of the federal government because they were being told by their provincial and territorial governments in many cases to stay home, stay safe, and shut their small businesses or don't go into work. But yet at a time when these programs are so important that needed to be tweaked to ensure that they are hitting the most amount of people as possible, Parliament was shut down, and it was basically the Liberal government, the government being cabinet, making these decisions almost in a silo.
Exactly. In fact, that proroguing meant that a number of pieces of legislation that were important didn't move forward. And then when we came back, the Liberals accused us of delaying legislation because we as Conservatives were doing exactly what Canadians elected us to do, which is to provide oversight and scrutiny over what the Liberal government was doing. But this Liberal government, of course, as you know, has run away from accountability. They talk about transparency. In fact, the mandate letters to their ministers talk about raising the bar on transparency. And yet over the last 4 years, they've run away from transparency. And we as Conservatives, we insist that we hold them to account for when they spend taxpayers' dollars, and we'll continue to do so.
When you talk about raising the bar, I thought you were going to go in on why the government has decided it's so urgent to raise the debt ceiling. Canada's national debt forecasted over $1.2 trillion. We basically doubled federal spending in the fiscal year, and they're asking for more.
They're asking for more, and it's a bar that I'd hoped we'd never have to reach. It's a standard that I'd hoped future generations wouldn't have to pay for. But that's what the Prime Minister has asked for. A lot of Canadians probably don't understand what's happening behind the scenes. But what the Prime Minister is asking Canadians to do is effectively give him a blank check. He wants to increase the amount of money that he's allowed to borrow. by, listen to this, $663 billion. The last time they imposed a debt ceiling, they blew through that over a period of 3.5 years. Now they're asking for another 3 years in which they want to blow through somewhere in the order of $750 billion. And what's worse, despite repeated requests to the finance minister that she explain to Canadians what she would spend that money on, she has refused to do so. She has said, listen, trust me, give me a blank check, and then I'll spend that $663 billion, but you won't know in advance what I'm going to spend it on.
How many times in the previous parliament did we in the opposition speak up in the House and in media interviews and talking to Canadians when we focused on the importance of saving for a rainy day? We're always pushing, just in case something bad happens, we shouldn't be deficit spending when times are good. And we know Justin Trudeau did that, even though the Conservatives left him with a balanced budget. Of course, he dug right into the piggy bank and started spending on the credit card. And that continued right up until the pandemic. And then it went into overdrive. But yet, had the government, had Justin Trudeau been fiscally responsible during the good times, there would be a little added padding for the bad times.
Well, I love the analogy of the credit card, because that's effectively what the Prime Minister has done. He's run up a big bill on our national credit card. And now he's gone to Parliament and said, increase my line of credit by another $663 billion. You are absolutely right. Under the previous Conservative government, when we left office in 2015, we actually left the Liberals with a balanced budget. The books of this country were in really, really good shape. Canadians knew that they could trust a Conservative government to manage the finances of the country, even though we had come through some incredibly rough times. The recession, the global recession of 2008-2009, required our government to pump stimulus into the economy. But when we borrowed money at that time, we made two commitments. We were going to invest in things that would build our long-term competitiveness. So we invested heavily in things such as infrastructure, so roads, bridges, railway lines, ports, both inland ports, marine ports, to make sure that long-term our country was well-positioned to be prosperous. So these are really good investments to make. And then when we came out of the recession, we immediately implemented a plan to return our books back to balance. It was really tough to do, as you remember, but we did it. And by the time the Liberals came into government, we had left them with a balanced budget, which of course Justin Trudeau immediately blew through and went way beyond the ability for this country to actually manage the finances that we were piling up. Because right around the corner, of course, was this pandemic. Unbeknownst to anybody, around the corner was this pandemic that was going to place an even bigger burden on future generations of Canadians. And that's why we've been calling on the Minister of Finance to be transparent, to be open, to be accountable to Canadians. Show us where you're going to spend this money. So far, we as Conservatives have supported the expenditures that the government has made because we know that Canadians need that support right now. And we are committed to providing that support going forward. But Canadians also deserve a right to know, what does this mean for us longer term? What does this mean for my children, for my grandchildren? Will they be able to actually afford to live in Canada? Or is that light at the end of the tunnel is actually a freight train coming at them? And this is information that Canadians are entitled to know.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we've seen it all from this Liberal government. Obviously, government doesn't have anything that it must first confiscate in the form of taxes, the most common. And we've seen the government do that. We've seen during the pandemic, the carbon tax increase a number of times. The escalator tax on beer and liquor sales has increased, amongst others. So they've tried to increase taxes to pay for their spending. They've tried borrowing on the international markets to help fuel their spending. And they've also printed. At some point, you have to rein that in, or you can severely debauch your economy or currency, probably a combination of both. But the government shows no sign of doing that. But they also say now's a good time to borrow because interest rates are low, which is true. However, the problem is this low interest rate period won't last forever. The interest rates will rise. And even by a point of interest, 1 point of interest means tens of billions of dollars more in interest payments, which means we have to service the debt. And when we service the debt, that's just paying the interest. That's not paying down the actual debt, which the Harper government did by a tune of about $40 billion prior to the collapse. And Ed, you were a minister in that government, so you know more about that than I. But it just goes to show that they're banking their massive spending on a wing and a prayer almost.
That's correct. When they borrow money and then pump that money into the economy, typically that will have a stimulating effect for the economy. Now, that stimulus might be temporary or it might be long-term support for a more competitive economy. I prefer to invest in things that have a long-term positive impact on the future of our country, on our long-term prosperity. But when you pump billions and billions of dollars into the economy, which this Liberal government has done and is promising to do over the next year or so, that means that there's more cash sloshing around in the economy, which raises fears of inflation, because you've got more dollars chasing the same amount of goods. And if you don't have economic growth that's associated with it, there's a very good chance you're going to have inflation. And how does the Bank of Canada often control inflation? By increasing interest rates. Today, Canada pays about $21 billion in interest every year on the debt that it has incurred. And as you've said, just a marginal increase in that interest rate can have a profound impact on our ability to carry that debt going forward. And God forbid that the interest rates double or triple going forward. That would make that debt almost unsustainable going forward. So every decision that this Liberal government under Justin Trudeau makes has a chance of impairing the long-term prosperity of future generations of Canadians. And that's why the message I would send to those generations is, listen, it is important that we help Canadians through this very, very difficult time, like many other countries around the world are doing. We have to get people through this pandemic, but we want to get Canadians vaccinated. We want to make sure that they get their jobs back. We want to make sure that small businesses get back up on their feet. We want to make sure the economy reopens, that we have long-term economic growth in our country. And if the decisions that this prime minister makes now are not the right ones, we will pay a terrible price down the road.
When you're talking about growth, and we've said this to a few guests on the show, the anchors of our economy traditionally are natural resources, right? Oil and gas, the mining industry, all of which, especially the oil and gas industry, have been severely hurt by Justin Trudeau and his Liberal government. So the market has very little to do with the fact that we're not able to get our resources to market here in Canada, that we have severe barriers to that. Not only that, the travel and tourism industry has been probably one of the most severely impacted by the pandemic. You have the airline industry. So there are a number of factors at play when we talk about recovery that are going to be slow and are going to need some guidance and assistance as they try to ramp back up.
Well, that's one of the things that we have lamented, is that this Liberal government has failed to provide the targeted sector-specific report for the most highly affected sectors. And it took our conservative opposition in the House of Commons to bring forward a motion that would call upon the government to actually support sectors like hospitality and tourism and the charitable sector and the airline sector. And then more broadly speaking, we also called for support for small businesses across our country, because the Prime Minister has failed to recognize that these are the most impacted sectors that have yet to receive a bit of a leg up or a hand up, not a handout, but a hand up to help them make it through this crisis. And again, it took our opposition Conservatives to actually get the government to turn its mind to these sectors that are so stressed right now and that are critical to our long-term economic recovery.
Now, you mentioned a few, but is there anything else that we would do, if we as Conservatives do, if we are in power, that could immediately get that economic growth that we're talking about jump-started? Because I think there are a number of opportunities that could help, but the government has to take action.
You're absolutely right. Actually, this Liberal government has almost shut down our resource sector by implementing regulations and laws like Bill C-69, Bill C-48, that have completely undermined our ability to get job-creating projects built in our country. It used to be that Canada had a reputation for being an environment where projects of national significance could get done, and you could build pipelines, you could build large-scale resource projects within a reasonable period of time, and those would then drive economic growth within our country. Today, the global investment community avoids Canada. They say, listen, it takes too long and it's too expensive to develop in Canada. Therefore, our dollars for investment are going to go to other places around the world. They're going to go to the United States. They're going to go to South America. They're going to go to Africa. We just don't trust Canada anymore to be a safe and reliable investment destination. We as Conservatives, we believe that if we were in government, we would implement regulatory reform. We would make changes to the law that would allow nation-building projects to be built in a timely way that would respect our environmental commitments, but deliver jobs and long-term prosperity for Canadians. And that's something this Liberal government has never gotten. And it's one of the major failures and the legacies they'll leave behind.
Ed, we are running out of time. I always give the guests the last word, so the floor is yours, sir.
Well, you know, we've spoken a lot about the pandemic challenge, and we've spoken a lot about things that this Liberal government has gotten wrong. But I want to encourage Canadians. We still live in an amazing country. We are going to make it through this. What we as Conservatives are saying, we believe we are a trustworthy, competent, and ethical alternative to the corrupt Liberal regime we have in Ottawa right now. I still love Canada. We still have tremendous potential. It's just that potential is not being delivered on. So working together with people like you, Jamie, man, I get such a charge out of working with our caucus colleagues in Ottawa, and to think about the future and what it could be. And hopefully after the next election, we'll get a chance to govern and govern wisely the way Canada should be governed.
I couldn't agree with you more, Ed Fast. Wonderful to have you back on the show. And thank you very much for your contributions. We'll get you back on again because there is so much more we could talk about. Probably go on for hours, but I know you're busy. We will say thank you and we'll come back to you again. Ed Fast, the Member of Parliament for Abbotsford in the beautiful province of British Columbia. He's also the Shadow Minister for Finance, doing a fantastic job. And we thank you for joining us here today. New content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join us. Also, subscribe, share, comment to this program. Help us push back against the ever-moving Liberal agenda. If you can't listen or watch to it in its entirety right this second, please download it later on in platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. It is out there if you go to find it. And hopefully we can ensure that Erin O'Toole is the next Prime Minister of Canada. And as always, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the Blueprints.